Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access. Welcome back. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. I've missed everyone. Oh, and look, I have a co-host already. Yay.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. We have a short show today, but at least we're back for a little bit anyway.
Yes. Good evening.
Hello, friends.
Hi. Hello, Karen.
Fandom Access.
How
is
are
back.
We tonight, Karen? Yes,
no,
it
good.
Is.
I had a very
enthusiastic opening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I missed it. That's what I get for being late. Yes,
same,
it's been weeks.
I said the same thing I basically always say, but I was very energetic with it.
Oh,
yes,
well,
you've
got pent-up enthusiasm.
Yes, I do. I almost forgot to tell you the truth. I set up the show earlier today, and then I'm doing my thing or whatever, and then my alarm went off at 9:45, and I went, oh, shit, I got the show in 15 minutes.
how quickly you forget, get into an alternate routine on Tuesday nights. Yeah,
I'm old,
not as old as I am, but yeah, I know. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. And with thousands and millions of listeners out there tonight.
I like that. Thousands and millions of listeners.
And it was so great to have something to watch for at least a few days. Because I was really getting the bottom of the barrel.
You watched it all. You watched it all at once, didn't you?
I did. I binged all of Loki at once, yeah. Then I went ahead and watched The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I haven't
watched
that yet. And the other one, I have not watched a lot on Disney Plus yet. I basically got it for the month or whatever to watch Loki and watch Loki.
Yeah.
I don't know how to watch it.
There's so little on TV that I actually read a book last week.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Well, I can only rewatch Harry Potter
every day.
So many times.
No, I know.
I know. You're a big reader.
I've read recently, but...
I read, I listened to an audiobook also, which I never do. So it's nice to have a little part of our routine back.
Right.
Yes,
now, I still have not seen, I know we were maybe going to talk about Black Widow. I still have not seen that yet. So
I haven't seen it. I intended to watch it, but instead I had to go.
Well,
it became
we'll
more important to
week.
Buy a pair of jeans today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sometimes. Books tend to be more.
So we'll talk about Black Widow next Tuesday night.
Sounds good. All right.
Okay.
So do you want to do real estate first, or do you want to hop into Loki?
Let's talk quickly about real estate, because I think we'll not talk about it as long, and we'll just bang it out, because we're going to talk about – I did watch the first two episodes, but I think the second hasn't aired. It's just available on demand, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I've seen way further than that, so –
okay,
I've seen two.
Well, the second one turned up on demand, and so I watched it. So I've seen the first two. And I think if it's on demand, then it's not a spoiler to talk about it. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. We don't go into detail. So what did you think of it?
You and I were sort of live texting to each other. First of all, I was, so blown away by Tim Rosen's, non-hairy appearance. And he had a lot of facial hair in Vagrant Queen also, right? And I, he's, so young. Yeah, in Vagrant Queen, because he was shooting them at the same time, right? They aired at the same time. So I thought it was pretty good, especially with the second episode. It settled a little more into this, based on the first two episodes, it seems to be a bit, I wouldn't necessarily call it a procedural, but a case of the week kind of thing, a house of the week.
Yeah.
But there's this ongoing, at least in the first two episodes, it appears that the ongoing story is the house, Megan Donovan's house, where his mother allegedly disappeared. And also maybe he likes Megan, maybe he doesn't like Megan. maybe he just likes the hat, right? There's that whole thing brewing there in episode two.
Yeah.
She's the main mystery of episode one. I thought it was pretty okay. They had a couple of like really decent jump scares in there.
Of the effects were serious. I mean, I said the effects are pretty good. I mean, they have in the first one they have that hand that's a little hokey, but
The hand is not that great.
The hand from the hell mouth or whatever the hell you want to call it. But they're pretty decent. I like the tone of it. It's funny, but it's not overly silly funny. I feel like it's a good balance.
I agree with you.
Like, I think the whole thing with the, I want to call it Operation Theater. It's not, but it's like actually called a theater back then. But like when they have the,
like a surgical theater.
That thing is freaky to me because I watched it the first time I watched it. I remember it was real late at night. I'm like, that, I don't know. That was a little freaky. That whole thing. It was a little weird, but those ghosts were a little freaky, but yeah, I think the tone kind of carries throughout that. It does have comedy, but like I said, I like that it's not as over the top as I thought maybe it would be. And I really like it. I think the characters are good. And like I said, that one girl is from Wynonna, the one that plays, and I don't know the character's name. I should.
Which one?
But without looking it up, the one that plays the other girl, that's at the office. You'll get to see more of her. I don't think you've seen very much of her yet.
Which one?
But
she's Zoe, the office manager. I think it's Zoe or Chloe.
Zoe.
Maybe.
Sounds
She's from Wynonna.
She's from. She was the Clanton sister.
Oh right. The Clanton sister whose name was. Now I want to say her name maybe was Chloe. I think her name was Chloe, right?
No, it might have been. Zoe is in this show. Chloe, I don't know. It might have been Chloe. That sounds like that might be right.
Yeah.
But so we have Zoe, we have August, who I knew from somewhere. And then I saw on his Twitter profile, he's from Haven. I'm like, that's where I know him. He played the FBI agent here. And he's kind of the resident techie. And then there's Father Phil, who was father. And was a father as in was a priest, not was a father.
Right.
And then of course Susan Ireland is the new
Lauren.
The new
Lauren is her name, right?
Yeah. No, her name's Susan.
Susan. Her name is Susan? Okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I kinda like
the
her.
Joined the group. Yeah, I do too. I think that they I like their dynamic too, and it's just it's not like a romantic, you know, dynamic or anything, which is fine. They don't need to be, but I like their kind of friendship grows, and she kind of doesn't know what to make of them at the beginning, and then we find out too. I think the other important thing that they had in this episode that they didn't really go deep into, but we find out she's a can start fires. Because she helped that girl.
Well,
and you know,
I mean, I don't really think that she can start fires.
Well, she's supposed to be able to, whether or not.
No, I don't think she can start fires. I think it was a thing, like it was a thing when she was a teenager that she like didn't couldn't control. I think when she said learned to control it,
okay.
I think she learned to make it stop. Like because there was a poltergeist, right? Like it's very common for like. Puberty age
right,
kids to have
something
a
like at her work when she got fired there was this she caused a fire or something when that guy she was sleeping with fired
I don't
there was
recall
a comment
that. She
like
just
a
says he
comment
I don't recall that comment at any rate I read that scene between her and the girl whose house she was trying to sell the girl with the poltergeist that it wasn't it's like she can she's not like a fire starter who can start fires at will.
No,
right?
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant that she has some latent ability, whatever you want to call it.
I would even maybe take it down. I mean, but definitely she has some sort of past paranormal experience.
Right.
You know, possibly with a poltergeist or, you know, it was cool because it set it up like she's a non-believer, but she's not a total non-believer. She's got like a, 90% non-believer, 10% maybe open that, you know, open to this kind of stuff.
But
probably
was
from the beginning.
Kind of surprising. Yeah. I guess I was dumb, though, because I'll say when they had with the little baby, I thought the baby was supposed to have been the one that moved the toy. It took me a little bit till later in the story to get that the girl did it to make her baby sister or brother, whatever
but
it was,
see,
happy.
I don't think the girl, I don't think the girl did it. I think the poltergeist did it. I think there was a poltergeist associated with her, and the poltergeist did it. And it's the poltergeist that throws stuff when she gets upset.
I don't know. Maybe I took this episode a lot different then. I took it that they're both telekinetic, but
well,
I don't
that's
know.
Fine,
I don't know
right?
that it really matters
I mean,
one way or another. Yeah, I mean, it's
well,
not really
and Susan,
relevant.
Susan does say to her, Susan does define it as telekinesis, but Susan's inexperienced and a non-believer, right? Like, Susan doesn't have a vocabulary or an understanding. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's part of the good thing about the show is that we can interpret different ways but still like the way they resolved it, right?
Yeah, the point is she connected with her from a past experience. That's
yes,
the main
yes.
point of it.
Yeah.
And then there's the thing with it, like you said, at her house, she's trying to sell her the house she inherited, and there's a
Megan.
Joke thing, yeah, in the basement
that they
have to get rid of.
Well, it's
yeah.
like a hellmouth. You're right. I think you're totally
yeah, I
a
said
hellmouth.
They don't
a good
actually
idea.
Say that, but that was what I was thinking when I was watching.
Yeah.
Pretty much a hellmouth.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I thought it was a little...
The father had opened it or whatever and then shut it.
I thought it was a little... So you're right that whole thing with the creepy surgeon, that was really pretty... I mean, it was creepy makeup and creepy effects and kind of scary. It didn't really make a lot of sense. Like, why would they be haunting that house? Like, why would a team of surgeons? But I guess they're not. It's kind of because in the first scene, Megan is reading these, like, old-timey, like, surgery books, right? And she's looking at pictures of old-timey surgery, and they're playing on her own fears, I guess, maybe. Is that why they're there? Not because,
yeah,
like...
I would guess so. I'm trying to remember specifically... I don't know if – I'm trying to remember if they ever say what happened with the house or what the house was because I'm trying to remember and connect it. You know, I don't even remember. But, yeah, I would say probably part of it was just they're trying to scare her because they're trying to, I don't know, get her out of there, get her not to sell it. I'm not sure which. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing with a lot of these is just that they cause problems. I think a lot of them they don't even necessarily notice the problems until they go to try to sell the house.
That's the house that appears to have no history, as though it's like over 100 years old, but it appears to have just sprung up suddenly in 1987.
Yeah.
Right? That's the house, the mystery house, yeah.
And, you know, they had some cool house. I got to say, even on the first one, they had some cool house exteriors. I don't know about her wallpaper, but that house is pretty awesome. I've watched some different house renovation shows, and that's what I'm thinking they show that house.
The interiors on all these houses are awesome. I mean, when Luke was home in the evening, I don't know how much money Luke Roman is making off his real estate agency, but that was an incredible kitchen he was sitting in.
Yeah, yeah. The interiors are actually in the exteriors. But
that's a soundstage. But there's it's certainly a soundstage. But they have built some.
When they show it,
really,
they're really nice.
I mean, they're incredible interiors. It would be an amazing house to live in. I mean, it would be an expensive house to live in. They're making a lot of money.
Yeah. There's quite a few expensive-looking houses. And you said that what was the story? Remind me what the story of the second episode was. Not that we have to go deep into it, but remind me which one it was.
So the second episode is about a little boy who has an imaginary friend named Cindy, a little girl with braids that is guessing his imaginary friend, but is actually a ghost. And then the whole episode is about, like, what kind of ghost is it?
I was going to say, they almost got, I feel like, a little bit through this. And granted, I don't even remember the original movie because it would have been so long ago. But I almost get a little bit sometimes like a Ghostbuster vibe, but like not that tone necessarily, but like it's sort of got that, I don't know, element to it, like with the whole tech and everything going on. I don't know. That made me think of it. Because isn't that the one where they try to, is that the one they try to trap her? I'm trying to remember.
There's a scene where there's like a Ghostbusters type trap. It's not quite like Ghostbusters where it looks sort of like a giant vacuum, but it's a similar idea where they're trying to suck in an entity and keep it in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little Ghostbuster-y. But it was well done. I mean, there's also one part of that episode that I know that you hated a lot, that you and I both hated a lot, that maybe we won't talk about since it hasn't aired yet.
I don't remember which is which, unless I know specifically. I know there was a makeup effect in that one that wasn't 100%.
No, but
a lot of times, though, I see them before they're done, so it may have changed. But
no,
yeah,
no, no. There's a character who comes to a sad end in this episode, and I don't want to say who it is, but I know you were unhappy about it.
I'm trying to remember. It's been like
I'll text you later. I'll text you later. I don't want to spoil
it.
Yeah,
later. Yeah, text you later.
But, you know, overall, I mean, I agree with you that I like the tone also. A lot of the sci-fi shows, the humor is just a little too much for me, too over the top and too, you know. But this isn't like a Z Nation or a Resident Alien level of humor. It's like the humor is really like so far confined to like dialogue among coworkers, and it's kind of subtle and like normal and the way normal people talk, I feel like. I found that part of the tone was, it's not as comedic as Winona, but I did enjoy Winona. Wasn't over the top. I enjoyed the, you know.
Winona has this kind of own brand of comedy. This is not that either.
This is a more serious show for sci-fi. It's not like an Expanse, but it has that bantery kind of humor.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that I did want to say too for people watching, because I know obviously a lot of people watched it because of Tim. Melanie does direct. I'm not sure which episode she directs. I'd have to look it up. But
Melanie
Scafano? She's in it, episode 3. Yes, and she's also in episode 3. She plays quite a different character. They've shown it in a preview, so it's not like it's a spoiler. But she's coming up as one of the people in one of the episodes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I guess.
Great.
That's about it. I can't think of anything else really. Other than if you haven't seen it, you know, check it out. I think I like it. I think it's a good show. And like I said, I've seen 8 of them. So. It continues to each story kind of has its own thing, you know. It's good. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
great.
Before we go, the only other thing I want to say, and this isn't about this, but I just want to mention before we go on to Loki for people, is that the other show that is on that I watched, and I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, obviously I said to you guys, but is because I know AJ mentioned it. It's like, yeah, I watched that a long time ago. It's Leverage Redemption, which is on Internet Movie Database TV, which is through Amazon. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. Although I think you might be able to watch it free regardless, because at least the old series is free with ads. I'm not sure about the new series, but that's available.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention that. That's an awesome show. It's not sci-fi, but it's a really, really good show. I love that show.
While you guys were talking about that, I just remembered something that I forgot about. See, I'm getting old. The first two episodes of American Horror Stories has premiered.
Oh yeah, where on?
Remember,
on,
that's why I think
it's. I don't know. I noticed the first two on Hulu. Ryan Murphy's. Now here we are again. This is what I think is funny. Ryan Murphy, you know, we have American Horror Story, which is an entire season anthology. You know, each season is an anthology, and he thought, what a good idea would be to do American Horror Stories, where every episode is an anthology. Each episode is a different story. So that's something we could talk about next week. Since we need something to watch.
Probably, I was going
to
say, FX is, Hulu owns, I think, FX now or whatever. They have their FX on Hulu. So if it's not on network, that would be where it would be at.
Well, because this is a separate thing.
Yeah.
Like American Horror Story is still, they just shut down production on the season because of COVID. American Horror
this
Story
is, American
is
Horror
Story. A separate thing, right? Yeah.
Yes, completely separate. And
yeah,
I completely
and so
forgot about it. until I saw it on Hulu.
Because it's only going to run on Hulu, I think, right?
I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know about that either, actually. I don't know about that. I've only seen it advertised for...
I would assume that, I mean, given that it's Ryan Murphy that, and American Horror Story makes them so much money on FX that it's on FX.
Yeah.
But it's definitely on Hulu, too, so.
Well, so FX, yeah, has that new thing with Hulu, so, yeah.
Well, it's all one big happy family now. Because Disney owns both of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a spinoff with the regular cast. I mean, some of the regular people, right? Like not, you know, Matt Bomer.
He probably uses, he probably uses some of his people. I mean, it's Ryan Murphy.
Paris Jackson is in it, yeah. But it is not, so, yeah, it's on, I just Googled it. It launched on FX on Hulu last week. And the finale has been shooting at the Murder House this week. That one is still ongoing. So I just Googled it. American Horror Story was shut down for a few days. American Horror Stories is a separate thing, and it looks like it's only going to be on... Looks like it's only on FX on Hulu.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, there we go.
Anyway,
I
will check it out. Was it scary? Did you wait? So did you watch it or not?
I haven't watched it yet. No, I haven't watched it yet. Like I just said, I forgot about it. Probably watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I've been
check
watching.
Also. You know how?
I've been watching that Dr. Death on Peacock.
Oh, yeah, is that good? I've seen that advertised. That has Christian Slater.
Oh, my God. It's really good. Christian Slater, Joshua Jackson, and Alec Baldwin.
It's good.
I mean, it's messed up, though, because, like, it's good, but at the same time, it's just, like, it's really messed up because it's based on a true story. So it's really fucked up.
Oh, that's right. It's about, an angel of death.
Right.
I'm trying to remember what it was about. I know it sounded good, but...
No, it's just, I wouldn't call him an angel.
Well, no. I'm calling it that.
No, it's about a real life spinal surgeon who continuously messed up surgeries. Hospitals let him continue to operate.
Yeah, makes it more scary.
More scary.
What I love, though, is each episode opens with, based on actual events, however it's been dramatized for entertainment value. And I'm thinking, I feel bad enjoying the show. You know, it's like, because people suffered and are still suffering from this guy. And, you know, it's the human mind is crazy. Anyway, so Loki, speaking of crazy.
Yeah, we'll go to Loki. So Loki is awesome and I guess is going to tie into Doctor Strange as well, which is good.
Loki's tying into everything.
Yeah. I love how it kind of... It was cool, too, because, I mean, it explains, like, how he died but didn't and, like, how – well, not how he died but didn't, how he could not have died, I guess you'd say. But since this is canon, I guess technically didn't die. And, like, he jumped on the timeline, like, it explains a lot.
Well, I mean, he does die.
How that version
excuse me.
Tell us how he possibly could escape – why am I forgetting his name? The snap guy.
Loki?
Thanos?
Thanos. I can see him in my head. I couldn't think of his name. How he possibly could escape him and, like, we didn't realize he didn't die. Let's put it that way.
He died.
He did die.
No,
see,
it's how the one
Loki
version
put...
did.
But see, here's the thing.
Wait. Go ahead, AJ.
Right, hold on, Jamie. Hold on.
You're better at explaining it.
So, think of everything we've seen in the Marvel Universe as Earth Prime, okay? That's the Prime Earth, all right? The Loki that we get in this series left that timeline and created a branch, okay? The TVA went in and did a reset and stopped all that. The Loki that we take this event, these six episodes that we're on an adventure with, is not the same Loki that we see in future Marvel movies. They're two different people.
That's true.
And they're both Loki, but they're two different Lokis. This is a variant Loki. Loki still dies at the hands of Thanos. So when Loki pops up in later stuff, assuming he does, and, you know, if you see him and Thor come face to face again, Thor's going to be like, how are you alive? I saw Thanos kill you. And he's going to be like, well, Thanos did kill me. I'm not that Loki. That's what he, you know what I mean? That's what he's going to say to him. Which yes, it was hard for me too watching it because Tom Hiddleston does such a great job of remembering that he's not the same Loki that we've seen in the other movies after the first Avengers movie.
Yeah,
he kind of comes. He's kind of come around to the same.
Love it.
Right, but
that's good.
Every variant is just another version of who's in the prime timeline, which is how in that one episode, B-419 or whatever her name was, how she convinces the other soldiers when they show her the judge. In her actual life, not who they know is the judge. Like, that's why there's so many Lokis, you know? Like, when we had the episode with all those Lokis, we had the kid and everything, and he's like, oh, I killed Thor, and, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen, which is why he's a variant, you know? And the older Loki actually did fake his death with Thanos, which is why he's a variant, you know? Like, all these things, everything, like, so you have the prime timeline of how things were supposed to go, and every variant we see in the Loki series is somebody that skewed the timeline and was taken out and, you know, either pruned or turned into a TVA agent. So you can't think of this Loki as the actual Loki. The actual Loki was killed by Thanos.
Yeah, I mean,
this was that Loki originally. It's just he split off, so it became a different Loki.
Mm-hmm.
It became a different
It's
confusing. Yeah. I don't think you necessarily need to 100% even understand that whole thing, though, to get the story and love the story. You know?
Well, I mean...
True,
I mean,
very true.
The thing is that, like, I mean, you kind of do need to get it because there are so many other Lokis, right? And this I mean, they all came at different times. I mean, so many of the Lokis are not our Loki. I mean, Sylvie is a woman Loki, and there's an alligator Loki, and there's like, right? Because at some point...
Because he can shapeshift.
No. Because at some point, I don't think it's shapeshifting. I think there's some timeline where Odin adopts a little girl instead of a little boy.
Maybe what I'm getting then was what I read. Was he supposed to have been able to shapeshift in the comics? I was reading different things about it, was explaining like where they got some of the lore from in that. So maybe
shapeshifting is the wrong word. It's an illusion. It's not shapeshifting.
Okay, so, but the thing is those other Lokis though. So I guess then maybe I'm misunderstanding then why he looks like other Lokis. I mean, I know they used it obviously for a gimmick to be able to do the show, but he can always be a different version and look different because of – explain that. I don't – that's why
the
I
other
–
okay.
To be, like, he would always look different. He could – not exactly shapeshift, but there was always like a different – I don't want to say different version of him because that just sounds like a variant, but – because I'm not quite explaining
other than,
what I mean, but I'm going by what I read.
Okay, other than Sylvie, the other Lokis all came from the prime timeline, but they did something that wasn't supposed to happen, so they were taken out. Like, they made a branch. Like,
I'm saying explain that,
because
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's easy. Because... the one was really old.
Well, yes.
the child was really young. I mean, the alligator was an alligator.
Wait. One at a time, you guys. One at a time. One person at a time to talk. It'd be much helpful for me to understand.
One is black, one's an alligator, and one's a girl. That's what I'm not quite connecting with. Is that all illusions that he put on, or is it that he became...
No, it's because part of it's for comic relief, it all depends on how that alternate reality is going and taking place, you know? I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but when there was, when they were in the bunker and they were scrolling down from the, you know, floor level down to the bunker, and you see a little Thor bouncing against the jar. That was Frog Thor. To give you an idea, there's actually a planet, or you know, an alternate version of an alternate universe where all the superheroes are some sort of amphibian or reptile.
Okay.
So that's where. Yeah.
All right. I just wondered if there was some kind of explanation I had missed that was part of the Marvel Universe.
I think the reason they look different because in some, you know, there's some branch where Odin adopted a little girl, or where he adopted a black frost giant instead of a white frost giant or whatever. Like, I think they're legit.
Right.
They're legit Lokis. They're all named Loki, but they're like, in different timeline, Odin makes a different choice, and so it looks like it's a different person that becomes Loki. Right?
Yes, that is exactly it.
Which doesn't make as much sense because
it just go with it. Well, he says something about the alligator, basically says something like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, just go with it. And that's why I said, if you don't have to 100% get it. It's funny. Yeah. It works. I like that they came up with that. It gives the show something different. It gives it longevity. It gives it the thing that Doctor Who has, that they can cast different people and they can have as many versions as they want, and it works.
They do that in the Marvel comics with, like, there's Hulk and then there's She-Hulk and then there's, like, there's a lot of characters in Marvel.
That's true.
And there's multiple Spider-Men. But anyway, I mean, before we get
to be a few more.
Now we've got, yeah, there are. Now that we've gone down that rabbit hole, I thought it was really good. And, you know, having watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier now, Loki is the superior of those two series. I don't know. I haven't watched WandaVision yet. But I thought it was really well done. I mean, one of the ways it's better than something like Falcon and Winter Soldier is it doesn't have this, like, overstuffed plot with too much going on. I thought there were some pacing problems, right? Like, there were times when I felt like it could have been a whole hour less. Or there were times when I felt like I needed another whole hour. Like I don't know. They could have maybe dealt with that a little bit. But in general, I thought it was really very good, well acted. Yes, it sets up a lot of stuff for the next phase of the MCU, but it didn't feel like a setup in the way... AJ, have you watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So parts of that clearly exist as a setup for, like, upcoming movies or certain characters, right? And I didn't feel as... While Loki does that, I didn't feel as, like... It didn't feel like just a marketing thing or a prequel. I didn't feel, like, used by it. Like, it all kind of made sense to me. And, of course, like, this is, like... some really good Loki character development that we get over the six episodes.
Well, for the first part of what you said, each of the three series, I think, are great in their own right because all three are very different shows. You can't be like, oh, well, this show had this and this show had that, because they're all so vastly different. They are their own stories. They're their own entities. They're not comparable, really, by anything other than the fact that they're all in the Marvel Universe and they all set up to give more story to characters. And yes, did they set all three of them set up movies? Absolutely. WandaVision setting up
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I mean, Loki is also setting up Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Falcon Winter Soldier set up two things. Excuse me. You know, it sets up the next Captain America movie, and it's also setting up Black Panther 2. So, Loki has set up pretty much the next phase of Marvel. I mean, it's setting up Spider-Man, it's setting up Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it set up Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, and so I know some of that. I know that from reading some things online, but do you know that as a comic reader, is that more patently obvious to you, the way it's leading to the next things? Or do you also
Some of it's because of, I mean, this is all original stuff in a way. I mean, yes, they're pulling from the Marvel comics as inspiration for the stories they want to tell. But to give you an idea, okay, if you go to Wikipedia, there's actually a wiki. I mean, if you were to Google Marvel Multiverse, okay, there's actually a wiki that gives you an explanation and a rundown of every single multiverse that is current in the Marvel Universe, okay? And there's not a lot of them. It's not overly done. I mean, yes, there's infinite multiple universes, but it's with what in the confines of what Marvel has done, it's not ridiculously insane. But the MCU itself is considered to be a multiverse separate from the comics, which is why they're able to change, you know, which is how they get away with changing things. You know, some comic readers are like, oh, I wish they'd done this because that's what they did in the comics. But at the same time, it's like, it's fresh and it's new simply because it's considered its own multiverse. Like, the MCU is actually considered, if you look at that webpage, it's considered, Marvel 9999. That's what it's considered. Like the main timeline in the comics is referred to as Earth 616, you know, and then there's Earth 2099. Mm-hmm. And like, there's all these different, you know, there's zombie Marvel and, you know, all these other things. But the MCU itself is considered to be its own multiverse within the entirety of the Marvel Universe, not just the MCU. The MCU is part of the entirety. So that's why it's kind of cool, because, like, you know, they're doing fresh and new things while still keeping, you know, the inspiration from the comics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of this, it's just, some of it's from reading, and some of it's just from you know, just general knowledge of what they could be doing with, you know, based on what they did in the comics and how they're going with the movies.
Yeah.
So, Karen, let me ask you something. I didn't catch it right away. I didn't think about it. Like, I knew Jonathan Majors had been cast as Kang in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie. And that's who we see at the end. You know, that's He Who Remains. But I didn't think about it until I actually saw him. Right. Yes. Yeah. Kang, well, because of the multiverse now, Kang is going to be, we're going to see an evil version of, a really evil version of him in Ant-Man and Wasp. The thing that struck me as funny was B419, I think is what her name was. She was also in Lovecraft Country.
Yes, she was.
So I just got a kick out of that. It was like, they, you know, call the cast of Lovecraft Country and say, hey, we need people.
I know, right? to see those two, I mean, and they both, I mean, you know, I mean, they were both great. I also just saw Jonathan Majors in something else recently. What did I watch the other day that he was in? He's all over my TV lately. But, yeah, it was great to, it was great to see the two of them.
You
and
know what struck me as funny, though? I knew it was Jonathan Majors, but it was funny because he has such a different look than he did his Tick. So I kept forgetting, you know, which is a good thing when you go from role to role and have a little bit of a different look playing a different character. If people don't keep associating you with what you were doing.
Right. Yeah. I thought he was really good. I do know that he's going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I was a little, at the end he has this conversation where he explains that, like, when he became aware of the multiverse and he met all of his variants, most of them were very violent and horrible people, and so he, like, took over and created this, like, one timeline to stop those guys from existing. But in the end, he sort of, like, gives, you know, it's funny, so much of a part of the show was about free will, or, it, you know, like the TVA won't really allow free will. Anybody who expresses free will almost gets, like, varianted, and they reset the timeline, right? He has, so it's really He Who Remains has sort of eliminated free will to not even to preserve the timeline, but to preserve what he thinks the timeline should be, or he just wants one timeline to prevent these guys from living, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then it's funny to me that he gives up so easily. Not that he gives up, but at the end, you know, he's like, okay, Loki, Sylvie, you can either take over and run the timeline for me, or you can just, like, kill me and, like, whatever, all these bad guys will come back, but I'm telling you, really bad. He seemed to not really...
He's just kind of like, I'm done regardless.
Yeah, I guess he was, like, really burnt out and tired of dealing with it or something, because he seems to, like, after having, like, basically eliminated millions of people to protect the sacred timeline, now at the end he's like, well, I leave it up to you guys, whatever you want to do. I'm over it, right? Is that how you guys read it also?
Yeah,
exactly. It's exactly how it... Yeah, he's over it. I mean, he's been alone for a long time. I mean, and that was the great thing. I mean, he gives you all this exposition, and it didn't feel like exposition. Whether it be a TV show or a movie, can give that much exposition in a way that doesn't feel like it, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about. So for me, a weak part of the show, I'm not a fan of Owen Wilson, really.
I love Owen Wilson.
Really?
Yeah,
probably
I like
because his manner of speaking and his intonation, like, doesn't really change from role to role. And so, like to me, he's like
that's
a Nicholson
true.
Or a Spader or a Sutherland that I'm always, like, so aware that it's Owen Wilson because he talks like Owen Wilson, not like his character, right? So there's going to be a Loki season 2, and it's anybody's guess who becomes integrated into the movies. Like, probably Ravonna is going to be, Ravonna, that's her name, right? I mean, my understanding
yeah.
is that she, at some point, is Kang's
Wait,
girlfriend,
but,
right? And so,
which one is,
well, no, the judge. She's not his girlfriend. He is obsessed with her and wants her to be his girlfriend, and she keeps turning him down. Like, she wants nothing to do with him. And then, in the comics, well, I'm not going to say anything what happens in the comics because they could end up doing that in the movie in some way, shape, or form. But I'll just say that part.
Okay.
She's not his girlfriend. He's obsessed with her.
Okay. But she's a character in the comic universe, so she's a person.
Yes, she
and
is.
She's a big
yes.
actress, right? I can't pronounce her name. Gugu, what's her last name?
Yeah.
Her last name is difficult for my American tongue to pronounce. Gugu Mbatha-Raw. That's how you say it.
I was pretty close.
I mean, she's a big actress. These are all big, big actors and actresses who I'm sure didn't, like, you join the MCU, if anybody's guessed what could happen. While I'm not a fan of Owen Wilson, and his casting is, like, to me, like, Loki had a friend, kind of, right? Like, he and Loki
mm-hmm.
sort of were friends.
They bonded.
Like, well,
yeah.
They bonded. They called each other friends. They were jerks to each other the entire time, but they were like, oh, we're friends.
Yeah.
And Loki, like, never really had a friend. So that was kind of cute. And it was kind of like, I mean, Loki grows so much in these 6 episodes, and then he loses everything in the end, right? Which is really sad, but kind of... I kind of liked it. So I kind of liked when Sylvie, you know, betrayed him in the end. I don't know what you guys thought of that.
I think he grew. Maybe she didn't, but I definitely think he grew and changed, which is what matters. But yeah, it was really sad.
Well, it was sad, but I kind of liked it because, so when she's like,
yeah,
Loki, Yeah. Well, when he's like, you know, you can't trust and I can't be trusted. And then in the end, she's like, she throws him through the door and she, you know, she's set on her revenge and she does it. I felt bad for him, but the first thing I thought was like, oh, Loki, now you know what it's like every single time you betray
uh-huh.
Thor, word this over. Is how he felt.
Yeah.
Right? That's I thought of Thor immediately.
That's the first person,
even though it's like this quasi-weirdo, pseudo-romantic kind of thing, I immediately thought of Thor.
Yeah. And you know what's the great thing, you know, we're talking about how he's grown and everything. I like it. I think it's interesting, actually, because he's actually grown more than the Loki we've seen in the other movies. So, I mean, this variant of Loki is before Dark World and before Endgame and before Infinity War. So there's growth
right.
with him in those and Ragnarok. There's growth with him in those movies. But he's still the same type of Loki, and he grows through the movies. And by the time he actually dies at the hands of Thanos, he's grown, but not to the extent that this variant of him has grown. And it's interesting to see the growth in 6 episodes as opposed to 6 movies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but of course, and in any movie, like, he might only get but so much time on screen.
Right, exactly.
But you're right. Here's the thing, like, why that happened. Because, like, so I guess Loki never really had a friend, and Owen Wilson is a friend to him. Mobius is a friend to him, but not really, like, not the way, like, Thor, his brother, really loved him and wanted to be his friend and, like, all that. And then it's not like, and Odin and Freya loved him. It's not like how did that change him? Or was it really meeting Sylvie that changed him? And there's kind of, like, we're going to talk about that whole issue, like, is he in love with Sylvie? Is he in love with him? Like, the idea that he's in love with himself.
Is he in love with himself?
Right? Yeah. Because Loki only cares about himself and loves himself. And so for him to fall in love with, if he's really in love with her, I mean, are they in love? I don't know. But there's definitely, like, a thing. There's a spark there and a thing, right? But it's himself, mm-hmm. right? And Loki betrays everyone, and then he's, like, attracted to this one person
himself.
Who betrays him. But is that what, like, yeah, like, what attracted that? I don't know. That was kind of...
I think part of it is because who can understand Loki better than himself?
Better
I mean, yes,
Loki,
she's
yeah.
they're very different versions of, you know, I mean, they're very different versions of himself, you know what I mean? I mean, he's himself,
mm-hmm.
and she was taken as a child. She didn't even grow up like he did. Her entire life has been... Just, you know, revenge
on
the TVA. You know, that's been her entire life. So it's a different, they both had very different lives, but they still have that same core that they understand about each other. You know, they get it. Whereas a lot of people don't understand it the way that they understand
and
each other. You know?
And she really is like, so Loki's like, Loki's kind of a crybaby, you know, he's like, oh, I was adopted, nobody loves me, blah, blah, blah. But Sylvie really is that person who, like, you know, since she's like, what do you think, she was like 9 or 10 years old when she was, you know, taken by the TVA? And she's
yeah,
kind of
about that.
Since. Like, she really is the thing that Loki whines about, she really had her life. Like, look, it's kind of a baby sometimes.
Right.
Because people really like did love him, and he repeatedly
he got his own medicine.
He did. Actually, I kind of would like to see more of the Loki. Like, one shocking thing to me was, like, so when Loki goes to the void and he meets the 3 or 4 other or he eventually meets like a million other Lokis, and the kid Loki, you know, Our Loki, let's call him Loki Prime, even though he's not really, right? But our Loki says, what did you do? And he says, oh, I killed Thor. I was like,
that
whoa.
Was great.
To me, that was like, it was, because
That was a great fucking moment. He's like, I killed. Why is he the king? I killed Thor. Oh, you win. Like, it wasn't even an argument after that.
He actually did what he'd been thinking of doing, right?
Well, yeah, we've heard Thor tell stories before of Loki trying to kill him. I think it's in Ragnarok. Thor tells a story where Loki stabbed him when he was when they were seven. Loki stabbed him. And I think Loki also tried to let a snake bite him or something, right? Loki tried to kill Thor multiple times, but the way Thor says it in the movie, it's almost like a comedic aside the way Chris Hemsworth delivers it, right? And you never really knew if Loki was seriously trying to kill him or not, right? But yeah, he was.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's not easy to kill Thor. So it's kind of Loki's always tried to kill Thor his whole life, but did he ever really think he was going to succeed? It's twisted and it's not right, but there is a definite bond between them, and in his own way, Loki does love Thor and appreciates everything, that he and Thor have.
Not happy. It still didn't work out either, even though he supposedly won. It wasn't a happy ending still. So,
not saying it was.
No, I know.
I think it's also in Ragnarok where Thor says something to Loki like, "I was always your biggest fan. I always wanted to be your friend. I always believed in you," or something like that. He says, right? Thor's been this Thor thinks he's been this very supportive brother. Has he been? I don't know. That's arguable. Loki would say no, but Thor thinks he's been, right? I don't know.
Well, yeah, how many times can you bail somebody out that keeps trying to kill you and take over the world?
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Can any of this really stick? It's interesting to see Loki be changed. But what we've seen in movie after movie after movie, Loki is a leopard who can't change his spots. And even Loki says to Sylvie, you can't trust and I can't be trusted. He's not, I don't know we're going to see lasting change in Loki.
Probably not.
Well, that made sense to what happened.
In fact, so let me ask you guys,
him a happy ending, it wouldn't have felt deserved.
Well, let me ask Jamie first and then Loki, then AJ. So near the end when He Who Remains offers them the choice and he says either you guys can why don't you guys take over the timeline and manage it for me or you can kill me and whatever, chaos will reign. And they fight because Loki's actually wait, let's think about it. And Sylvie's what? No, let's kill him. And he's no, let's think about it. It's too, maybe it's too dangerous. Maybe we have to, but he's offered Loki incredible power, right? So do you think, what do you think, Jamie? Do you think Loki, why do you think he wants to think about it for a second?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's tired. I feel like he's changed because of Sylvie. I mean, I agree with you, will that change stick? I don't know. But I think that he kind of realized maybe there's something worse. I mean, he's not rushing headlong into it. I don't think he just wanted to be we can rule everybody. I mean, I don't think that was his end game at that point anyway. But how that would have ended up if she had listened to him, I don't know. But I kind of thought he just finally was because he even says something this could be worse than what it is and he's thinking. So I definitely think she's changed him for the better. But like you said, will it last? How much has she changed him later? I don't know.
Okay, and that was kind of my main question. Did you think he was ooh, this is a chance to, be the boss of everything and, control everything?
Yeah, I don't think – I didn't feel like that's what he was after.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with that.
AJ,
I don't.
You agree with that? Yeah?
Yeah, I agree with what Jamie said. I don't think – I think for once in his life it had nothing to do with wanting to assert the power. I think he actually listened and realized – this might be a bad thing. However, I think it's a good thing because it's going to be fun.
It's one of the few. So then it's one of the few times he was thinking of something bigger than himself.
Yes. Yeah. It's the one time he thought of it. However, I do think in the long run, I have a feeling Loki's always going to revert back to Loki. No matter how much he grows, he's still going to have those Loki moments. Now, whether or not we see Loki in any of the upcoming movies before season 2 of Loki, I have no idea, obviously.
Right.
Especially considering he's in an alternate he's on an alternate timeline right now. He's in a TVA where they don't even know him. So it's hard to say what and how things are going to go from this point forward.
So what do you guys think that is? And again, Jamie hasn't been talking that much, but so when Loki returns, Sylvia sent him through a door and he gets to some, probably a branch, right, where Mobius doesn't know him. Any thoughts on that? Do you think Sylvie did it on purpose or by accident, just like opened a window and tossed him?
I think it was random.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it. I don't think she purposely did it. I mean, I think she didn't want to hurt him, so she stuck him somewhere, but I don't know that she thought it through. And I mean, we don't really know where he's at yet either. I mean, we don't know what the world is like there, just that it's a different universe, which is season 2.
Or when. Like, even though there's supposedly no, like time flows differently at the TVA, it kind of doesn't matter. But kind of does. Like, did he come back?
I don't think it's supposed to be a different time, but you're right, it could be. I hadn't even thought of that.
Like, where on Mobius' time line
is
he?
They don't know him, though, either. So, like, I assume that in that timeline, there's a chance that the Loki variant is known, just not his variant. And if that's the case, they'll have to, like, learn to trust him or not trust him all over again. Which could be interesting, because he doesn't know that.
Or, I mean, in that timeline, maybe Loki's not a variant at all, because they don't recognize him, so they haven't been chasing him, right?
Yeah, well, but we also know all the Lokis can look different, so them not recognizing him necessarily means they don't know a Loki. But, yeah, you're right.
Well,
maybe they don't know any Loki, for all we know, because it's another universe.
Yeah. I mean, but in the main timeline that we saw when we get to the void, there's, like, 1,000 Lokis. They know, they knew that Lokis can be different because they had sent, 1,000 Lokis, right? Some of them look like
I guess I'm just saying they wouldn't necessarily know by seeing him that he was a Loki,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Right.
That doesn't mean they don't know of Loki. We wouldn't know that necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking they would have to do all.
Yeah.
Yeah, this does make me want to go back and watch the other Thor movies I haven't seen, though. Because I've seen No, I haven't.
Have
I forgot I hadn't. I hadn't even talked about it till tonight. No, I've seen the one, I watched the one that had the Doctor Strange thing. And that was it. And
right,
I watched part of the other one and it's finished. Yeah,
that's Ragnarok, where he meets Doctor Strange?
I don't know. I just watched
in the beginning of the movie.
That was originally why I watched it. But I would like to watch I started watching the one that has, I can't think of her name, Catherine. The one that's from Lord of the Rings. I think that's the same one. Is that the same movie? The one that's the lady from the elf from Rivendell. Is that
Cate Blanchett?
Yes, Kate.
Oh, yeah,
Kate
where
Blanchett.
She plays
the
sister. That's the Dark World. That's Thor of the Dark World.
Yeah. No, that's
Ragnarok. Okay. Well,
that's Ragnarok.
I must have started watching it and never finished.
Oh, that's Ragnarok, yeah. That's Ragnarok.
That's Ragnarok.
The Dark World, the Dark World's the other one where there's other guys are trying to take over Asgard.
I think I saw the original one long, 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 long time ago. But
that's the worst one.
I was into Marvel and knew anything about it. So if I saw it was like when I first saw Iron Man. Like, I've seen some of them, but, I didn't know anything about MCU or care, to be honest, back then. It was more my dad wanted to see a Marvel movie, and I was nice and went with him. I didn't that boy care, so.
So there is another.
It was his Father's Day thing. I would go with him.
There's another Thor movie coming, right, in the next phase of Marvel movies. I forget what it's called, but.
Love and Thunder.
I keep wanting to call it Love and Rockets. I'm not sure what Thor, Love and Rocket, or that band from the 80s, Love and Rocket.
Love and Thunder,
I don't know, but Jane is in it. Natalie Portman's back in this one, so Jane is
back
in
it. Isn't she supposed
to be? Yes, she is.
She's
going to have a much bigger
role
in this one.
Something, right?
I'm not making any comments.
She's his love interest, Jamie. She's an ongoing love interest.
No, I know that, but it was saying something, in this, and I granted I didn't been to the article, but about how she had been working out because she, I don't know, it made it sound like she was Thor in it, or Mrs., or like she Thor or something. I don't know. I didn't
well,
know.
In the comics, I think there is a girl Thor. I think there is a girl version of Thor in the comics at some point.
Well, it could have been, but there was something weird that happened to her in the movie. I just don't remember what it was, and I assume whatever
I think she
it
got
was.
Killed. Didn't she get killed in a past movie? I don't know. To me, she was
no,
a little, the first movie alive. That centers on her that was the worst one, really, and she's, then she was in the one where the raccoon.
I didn't like the Dark World.
So when the raccoon go to, no, the Dark World was not good. I didn't like that one either, but the first one is still the worst. The first one is the only one that I fell asleep in twice.
In the theater?
But, no. First time was on a plane, the second time was on TV.
Okay. That's allowed.
Anyway, we digress. But I brought it up because, here's why I brought it up, because I think any Thor movie must have some, at least small part of Loki in it. Like, I don't see how there's a Thor movie that doesn't include Loki, mention Loki, like Loki is Thor's brother and it's such a part of his story and his life, right? And I don't imagine that we would have a Thor movie that doesn't even mention where Loki's been taken out of the timeline. But, I mean, so Loki, like, Loki Prime is dead at the hands of Thanos and Thor Prime has lost his brother, right? But are we really going to have an entire movie of Thor with no Loki in it? I don't know where that goes. I don't know. I mean,
it's entirely possible, unless, I mean, because for Loki to show up in anything else, we can't just have him show up. It has to start with where he left off.
Where
he has to get his hands on a thingy to time jump.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they also
because,
wanted to make it mandatory, probably, that you actually saw Loki either. You know what I mean? Because, like,
right.
The series
yeah,
is still separate, so they have to have some kind of explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Loki wasn't – and he wasn't killed in the blip. He was killed – his neck was crushed by Thanos, right? He was killed prior
yeah.
to the blip, so dead is dead. Like, he's really dead.
Yeah.
Right, but – isn't that kind of the point? I mean, that's what I had read when I had read an article, though, was kind of the fact that they were saying that it's possible that he made an illusion like, you know, the other one, and we just don't know it. So you don't think that could be...
No, because that would be something... But that would... No, because he's already done that, and that's what the older version of him did. I mean, TVA has already corrected
but
that.
Sure some of them share some similarities. It doesn't mean they all have 100% different choices.
Well, what the TVA corrected was him taking the Tesseract and getting away, right? Like they grabbed the TVA grabbed him.
Well, that's what they corrected. Yes, that's what they corrected.
There
with
have been other versions of him that faked out Thanos. Like
right.
We don't know that that's the
right.
only one
but,
that.
But we
out.
Do know. But hold on. You're jumping down a rabbit hole. That's going to get worse. He already a version of him did do that. That's the older. That's the classic Loki. Okay,
yes,
the older Loki.
What I'm saying is every,
so that trick has already been pulled, and the
TVA
corrected it.
You guys stop talking. You guys stop. Please stop
Sorry.
Talking at the same time.
Sorry. What I'm trying to explain and say is that you're right. That was what that old Loki did. But just because old Loki did it doesn't mean that zero other Loki did it. Like not everybody doesn't have 100% different choices. There could have
Jamie,
been, still could have done the same thing and we didn't know it. At least that's how
Jamie,
I took it and I had read some things on it.
No,
but.
Because that's Loki Prime. That's Loki Prime, okay? Loki Prime made that decision, which is what made the timeline branch, okay? Any decision that Loki Prime makes that's been fixed, it's not like there's another Loki that can go and do the same thing because Loki Prime has already done it because Loki Prime is the only one that could do it.
Because otherwise it wouldn't
so Loki,
have branched when he did it. Okay, that makes sense.
Right, exactly. Loki Prime is dead, period.
Although there could be other options of things he did, we don't know, or other versions of him did, we don't know about. But yeah, I'm just trying to think of the way them to bring him back, because I do agree they're probably going to put Tom Hiddleston in it at some point.
But it's going to be when it is, it's going to be the variant. It's not going to be Prime. Prime,
yeah.
Loki is dead. It's going to be this variant that we followed through Loki.
But I also, James, correct. They're not going to make it that you had to watch the show. So I think that in the movie, Loki will be like, oh, I came from a different timeline, and that's all you really need to know. And only
yes.
if you watch the show would you really understand the entire, like, you know, I came from a different
right.
how that came to be. Like, we could just have a Loki be like, yes, but remember I took the Tesseract,
yeah,
that actually launched a different timeline. And yeah, they can
yeah.
simply describe that. Anyway, I was surprised that I thought that this show had a much, like, heavier theme. Granted, it's a TV show, not a movie, and they have more time, right? But I felt like I was kind of surprised to feel so heavily the theme of, like, free will and predestination. And of course, Loki fights against it, because Loki is like, no, I do what I want to do. I'm so smart and I'm Loki. I do what I want to do. Of course, he's going to think that. But, like, I guess,
still kind of
like, it was really, like, woven throughout the entire thing in a way that I kind of didn't expect it to have such a heavy, I don't know, heavy theme, because I guess because the movies don't, but a movie's 2 hours and this was six, so maybe I should have gotten it. But there was, like, all
yeah.
that free will kind of thing going on. Which
I think it's interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off. I was going to say,
go ahead.
Too, because he talks about, and you were saying too, like, he chose the timeline of, I don't know what his, I forget what his name is, but who's the version of Kang, whatever. He chose the version of the timeline that he said it was going to be, and he pruned everything else. But it's interesting that you think, like, everything that happened, even with Thanos, as horrible as that was, and as much as that had to be something they had to change and prevent and all that, that was all part of that timeline and was already supposedly predestined, like you said, was something that was a choice that was made, because they have the whole thing with, like, how they have all the Infinity Stones, like how they have a whole bunch of them in the office. That was kind of funny.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it makes it strange, though, to think about the main storyline is being like that, and thinking of, yeah, that was something that was already determined. It gives the whole thing kind of that heavy feeling.
Okay, let's put it this way, okay? I'm gonna try and make this broad, because what Jamie says is very interesting. It makes a lot of sense. But to really wrap your head around it, how you have to think about this is who's running the show, okay? He Who Remains is running the show.
Right.
So you have
mm-hmm.
all these multiple timelines, okay? Multiple timelines have been around forever, okay? But once these scientists started realizing, hey, there's other worlds out there and there's other versions. I mean, we have scientists in real life that believe in the multiverse theory and investigate into it, okay? This character of Kang has found it, and each version of himself has found it, and then they work together at first, and then others were like, well, we're the most powerful, blah, 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 so this is what we're going to do, we're going to take over. Now, this Kang is Earth Prime's Kang, okay?
Right.
So he decides, all right, all the other Kangs, bad, they want to rule people, bad. Ultimately, that's what he does, but doesn't see it that way because he's a good villain, because he has the right intentions, but what he's ultimately done is said, okay, this is the Earth I'm from, so I'm going to make it so that
Prime.
No other Earths can exist anymore. All right? We're just going to have Earth Prime. This is the Earth I'm from, and I'm going to make it so the other Earths don't exist anymore, because it's just chaos and bloodshed and shit goes to hell. So he stops free will. Free will existed And then because he made this decision and he made the TVA, Free Will ended because of him. And the only reason he knew how things were supposed to go is because he went to the end of time, as far as time had already gone, and sat there and watched everything. I mean, in the episode we see where he says, uh-oh, I have no idea what's going to happen next because we're past that point. We have finally moved past the point where I know what everything is. So had another Kang made a, you know, decision, no screw, had he, say, during the Battle of the Kangs, he died, we never would have had this one Earth. All those other Earths would have already existed.
Well,
does that help kind of wrap your head around a little better?
Yeah, I get that. And I, Jamie, do you have anything before I...
No, you... Yeah, I get it. It's just...
So I think he's a very, you know, a big part of Loki's development has been that Loki is so self-absorbed and he's so concerned with how he feels and what he wants and blah, 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 right? I think Kang is a very self-absorbed person because Kang says, oh, or he who remains, whatever we're calling him, Kang says, listen, all the other Kangs were total jerks, and I had to put a stop to this because there's all this mayhem and bloodshed, as AJ pointed out, so I'm going to make these changes to, like, stop the other Kangs from coming around. And the idea is that chaos and bloodshed is bad, like, too many people died. And yet, in order to prevent people from dying, he has basically killed all these people. Like, every single variant gets pulled out of their timeline. Their life basically ends and they're sent to the void, right? We think they're killed, but they go to the void. So in order to avoid people being killed, he has ended many people's lives. And then also this whole business with what happens with Thanos being preordained and allowed to happen, that he wants to snap his fingers and eliminate 50% of all life in the entire universe, which is like an okay thing to happen as long as no bad versions of myself are running around, like, making me look bad or whatever. Like, right? Like, what is it with this Kang guy?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, you don't think about it that way. But not for nothing, they did rewrite that. And he would have known they would have rewritten it. But,
mm-hmm.
I get your point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean they rewrote
it? Confusing.
Okay. Well,
because
they
went back and changed
it. The book
gets undone
5 years later, right?
Yeah.
No, they didn't go back and change it. They changed it 5 years later. They snapped themselves and brought everybody back. They didn't change what already happened.
But to Jamie's
point, way, it was undone. It was gone. There, those people that died didn't die or were brought back. Whichever.
Yeah.
You want to
say. Jamie's point is that I was saying, well, Kang allows half the universe to be killed, but Jamie's like, nobody knows that in 5 years it's going to be, changed.
Yes, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I
gotcha.
Said. It's the idea of the greater good. Is it worth taking away people's free will? And this is kind of deals with two real world issues of, are we willing to give up freedoms to feel safe, you know? Like, is it worth taking away people's free will in order to stop more people from dying, but you're still killing people? I mean, that's what I say. It's like, is there really a right answer? And is he a villain? Is he not a villain? I mean, it depends on how you look at it, because that's what I said. Villains never think they're villains. Not usually. I mean, sometimes if they're crazy. But usually villains think they're right. You know, they're not always doing it. They're not all negative.
Yeah.
They're not always doing it for the wrong reasons. But it doesn't mean that what he's doing is okay either. We don't know that if he didn't do it, that it would be worse. He's saying it would be worse. We really don't know.
Which actually, Jamie, that's
making
me think. Now, I wish that you had seen, and then we can talk next week, about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because, like, that's kind of a big theme. Like A, villains not thinking they're villains, and, like, B, what you give up to feel safe has been a theme that drops in and out of Marvel stuff, I think, over the years. Not a huge theme, but sort of is out there.
Something I'm going to say to Karen real quick that isn't going to spoil anything, but the quote-unquote villain in Falcon Winter Soldier, it's a very liberate type of scenario.
Yeah.
From Continuum.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Continuum.
Definitely so. Without the time travel. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to take that off. How many episodes is that?
Six. Winter Soldier is six, and I think WandaVision is six, right? I think they're all six.
Yes, they're both. They're all six.
They're all six, I think.
It doesn't matter which order you watch them, I assume, which you watch first. Because they're not
no,
all
I think
six,
they're,
right?
No, I mean,
they are connected technically, but they're not.
Not. It doesn't really matter which order you watch them in because they're not technically connected in any way that's going to ruin anything. They all, like, Wanda takes place a couple months after Endgame, and Falcon Winter Soldier takes place a couple weeks, I think, after Endgame. So they're all kind of, those two are both shortly after Endgame.
But you're watching the other one, so I'll watch Falcon first.
Yeah, I think Falcon's a little bit longer than a couple weeks, but not long. I think it's longer than that. I think it's, I feel like it was more like a 2023 kind of a thing where it's been a couple years.
That's the other thing that's messed up. That's the other thing that I hope Marvel can keep straight, because Endgame is 5 years later. So Endgame is actually 2023. And we're only in 2021 in the real world, so I hope Marvel can keep
so
it
that's
straight.
So that's why I feel like Falcon and Winter Soldier was in, like, 2023 or so. It takes place at some point after they're calling it the blip, and after the 5 years have passed and people have come back. But, yeah, I don't think you need to watch – so definitely having watched the two of them, it doesn't matter what order you watch them in. There's no overlap at all between the characters. There's no connection to the storylines.
I just talking about that one more, so I'll watch it first.
I think the order they came out in was
arbitrary.
Loki's the most recent, right? Wanda, Falcon, Loki maybe is the order they came out in, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Technically speaking, Falcon and Winter Soldier were supposed to come out first, but that took longer to finish because of COVID than Wanda did, so that's why Wanda ended up coming out first. But again,
Falcon
really
and Winter Soldier has a lot of people in it. It has way more people than Loki does. It has a lot of people in it, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
These are expensive shows.
It's very
I was just thinking, because, like, there are some really awesome effects in Loki, like, and sets. Like, I was watching, the one thing that I struck me as being, like, this huge thing was the scene when they're trying to run towards the spaceship. It's not exactly a spaceship, but that was made away from
the
arc before it exploded. Yeah, and when they're running, like, through that sort of futuristic city type thing, that reminded me, made me think of, like, I'm blanking on the name of that. Sort of made me think a little bit of Blade Runner. I don't know, not really, but it kind of made me think about it. That whole scene had to be so expensive. It's got some awesome effects.
Yeah, all that neon does kind of give you that Blade Runner thing. I love the whole look of the TVA also. Like, the TVA has this, the TVA reminds me a little bit of the Umbrella
Beast,
Academy. It reminds me a little bit of the Umbrella Academy when they go to the, who's the woman who's, like, the time authority on the Umbrella Academy? I forget what they're called. But they also have an office.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah, you know,
they
I hadn't thought
also
about
have
that.
An, that both of their offices are sort of, like, stuck in the 1960s. Like, the TVA has a very, like, mid-century modern kind of feel to it, right?
Well,
have a dot matrix printer. And the Umbrella Academy has a similar look when they go to the, what's her name, that woman who's, like, the boss. But, doesn't their office have a similar mid-century kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I agree. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good call. One thing that, there was a fan theory, and I thought it was an excellent theory, and I really thought they were onto something, which I'm a little upset wasn't the case. Remember the first episode of Loki when Mobius shows Loki the TVA and he looks out at it and he's like, this is an illusion. This isn't real. And it's like this, you know, really hot, futuristic looking city. There was a fan theory because it was pretty obvious in the first episode that Kang was behind everything. And with him being the villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, there was a fan theory that the TVA was actually located in the quantum realm. Remember that little city that people picked up on in the second
in Ant-Man?
in Ant-Man and the Wasp,
when
he's in the quantum
yeah.
realm, and there's this, you blink, you miss it, but everybody screencapped it all over the internet, and there looks to be like a little city in the quantum realm, and there was a fan theory that it looked very similar to what the TVA looks like. So the theory was that the TVA was located in the quantum realm, which I thought was a pretty cool theory, but as of right now, it has not panned out. Who knows?
That's
it might turn out to show up. It might turn out that way in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Well, yeah, because the way Hank Pym describes the quantum realm is that, and as Scott experiences it, like time runs differently in the quantum realm.
Right.
Like time, that like all time happens
and Mobius
in the same time
that.
And not at all and all that, right? Yes, and Mobius
yeah,
says that.
And Mobius
that.
Actually
the
makes
TVA,
that comment.
Like time runs differently here. So that's not a bad theory. I mean, it's better than a lot of other theories out there. That actually kind of makes sense, and it's something we could find out about. So, well, I don't know about you guys. I was sorry when this ended. I was sorry because
I'm
liked
sorry
it.
When they all ended.
Yes. I mean, I do think 6 episodes was maybe the right amount of episodes that were, like, felt like I
yeah.
thought there was
yeah.
unfinished story I wanted to see. I just really enjoyed it. But I think, yeah, that's not like there's more that needs to, it's not like there was untold story. I think it, if anything, like I said before, I think maybe they could have gotten away with an hour less if they had pruned some things. But in general, it flowed okay. Prune. Jamie, I didn't even get
oh,
that.
I thought you said it on purpose.
But,
I didn't know you did.
No,
yeah,
no,
I thought you did, too.
Show it.
No.
That's funny.
I mean, there were a couple
Take
things
credit
I don't know if you want, but I will.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. Yes, I meant to do that. I meant to do that. it was a little, you know, but pretty good. I mean, and not the kind of pacing problems that we see on a lot of the other shows you watch, which are horrifying. Now I'm kind of excited. So as I told you guys, I watched Falcon right away, and I'm going to jump in and watch WandaVision. Because I'm excited to watch them. And I actually, so Wanda and Vision are two of my least favorite. Like, Wanda and Vision are not, if you only watch the movies and don't read the comics, you might be with me that Wanda and Vision feel like kind of minor characters.
Not important.
Right? And they happened, like, that whole Vision thing happened in an Iron Man movie. It's not like it was his own movie. It's like a side thing to Iron Man, right?
Yeah, the only reason I was going to, you know, care to want to watch is because I knew she's going to be in Doctor Strange. But yeah, they don't have that big of a part.
Well, and plus it was nominated for like a million Emmys, so that's a sign
yeah,
that we
yeah.
should be watching
I mean,
also.
Yeah.
So now I'm excited to kind
Karen,
of watch all of them.
Without saying anything at all, really, I think you're going to enjoy, aside from the story itself, I think you're going to enjoy WandaVision at the very least for the same reason that I did. And that's all I'm going
yeah.
okay. Are you saying her or
yeah.
me or both of us?
Possibly you too, Jamie, but I guarantee Karen's going to enjoy this, some of the same things that I did. Regardless
well,
of the
Well, I understand.
Story. It's just,
I
it's
mean,
just,
from the limited,
fun.
From the few things I've read, I think
yeah.
what I've read is that the tone changes from week to week and the whole, like, setup changes from week to week.
Yeah.
And it might be a little bit of that kind of stuff that, you know, you're like, what did I just want? What the hell was that kind of thing that is so fun on a week-to-week basis?
I was going to say, that's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Just ask Orphan Black.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Or like...
Wait, what?
Yeah,
you think Orphan Black? What?
Orphan Black was
Orphan,
like that.
Orphan,
like week after week, you'd be like,
Orphan Black
oh,
was like
hell,
that.
What,
oh,
just,
okay.
what the hell's going on?
Yeah, okay. I
but I love it.
I mean, you randomly said Orphan Black, and I'm like, what? I missed the,
yeah.
the through line on that. I missed a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to watch it, and I am going to watch. I know that the box office for Black Widow has been a disappointment for Disney.
Well, you know why, right?
The movie. No, I mean, I think the fact that the character is definitively dead and this movie came out at the wrong time, 2 years delayed, has made fewer people care about Black Widow, I think,
yeah,
for
that's
one reason.
Not really the, that's, not, That might be part of the reason, but the big reason is because all these other streaming platforms it's really good, but all these other platforms that are releasing releasing movies in the theater and streaming.
Well, they're not at the same time.
All the other platforms, they're not doing it at the same time.
Right.
Disney
like
still
a,
is.
There's
a couple week lapse. Disney is releasing it the same day, which is what is hurting the movie itself in the theaters.
Yeah.
But it's hurting the overall. I was reading this article. Black Widow is the number one pirated movie over the past 2 years.
Really?
Well, people are watching it. They're just not paying for it.
Just not paying for it. Yeah.
They don't want to go to a movie theater.
It's easier to get.
And a lot of people, I feel like before COVID, like, you could still get them by pirating it, but you want to go to the movie to have that Marvel experience, you know? But, people now
absolutely
don't want to go to the theater, so it's kind of like you lose that part of it.
I was so excited to go to the
movie. Theater.
Yeah, I
know. But I might go on a Tuesday at 11 when it won't be crowded.
My plan to go in the middle of the day.
But here's the other thing, AJ. So Black Widow is not driving subscriptions for Disney Plus, is what you're saying, right?
Honestly, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it costs extra,
It's $30.
$30
for
and
premiere.
You still have to pay extra to get Black Widow, right?
It's $30. It's $30 just to get Black Widow. It's not like there's a Disney premiere and any time they release a movie in the theater that you have premiere. No, you have to pay $30 for each movie that they release like that.
You're paying your Disney subscription,
only,
and then
though it's only through Disney. Like, I think once you get it for that $30, though, you can watch it any time, can't you?
No. Oh yeah, that movie. But like Rayla and the Last Dragon, the last Disney animated movie. You paid $30 for that, but if you want to watch Black Widow, you have to pay another $30 for Black Widow. It's not like you get that
you
any
own it,
premiere
if
movie.
You were going to buy
but you
Disney
own it once
anyway.
You get.
Right.
So
it's not original.
Now think about
you own it forever.
But you don't have to
now think about this.
Like if you quit playing
for
you own it forever.
Let me ask you.
Hold on. Stop. You own it forever.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
But what I'm saying is if you quit paying for Disney Plus, you don't own it anymore. You have to have Disney Plus to access it.
So it's not
exactly owning it. It's like you're renting it still, which is really shitty, but, you know.
Well, here's the other thing, okay? How many people say, hey, I only want to watch one thing on Disney Plus. Can I use your login information? Sure, here you go. Now, people that have the premiere, that have Black Widow, have just let 20 people use their sign-in, and that's 20 people that aren't paying for Black Widow, aside from all the pirating.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yep.
Well, more people would pay for it.
But
just saying.
$30
is ridiculous.
I agree. My point is, the big thing is, they look at the opening numbers and the weekend numbers, and the reason Black Widow is so low is because Disney released it at the same time on Disney Premiere. So all the people that share their sign-in information, all the people that pirated, did it over that weekend.
Right.
Which is why the weekend numbers are low. If they waited a week, those numbers would have been a lot higher for the theater because people would have actually gone to the theater.
Right. So it's not like something like, I don't know what else is out, but like Fast and the Furious comes out, it's in the movie theater for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you can stream it. And so a lot of people have already gone and seen it. And so I'm inclined to agree with Jamie and with you, AJ, I think also that a Marvel movie is worth seeing on a big screen.
Absolutely.
It's still worth it.
And it's $15 a person. So two people go to a movie, it's $30, right? So, okay.
I guess if you have a family, it doesn't seem as expensive. It's when you don't, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like me as a single person, like $15 to go see the movie is cheaper than $30 to rent it, own it, whatever it is, right?
Let's put it this way. We have an NCG theater here, and sit in the nice comfy seats with a recliner and everything is $13. Okay?
Yeah.
Four of us went to see it. Okay? So four of us at $13 is $52 for four people. It's $30 for rent, you know, just to get it on Premiere. And I mean, I think I spent another maybe
right.
after
that
everybody got everything, $20 on popcorn and soda and stuff. You know what?
Yep.
It's an experience. And after this whole COVID thing, it was so nice. I mean, there was eight of us that went, so we had so much fun. It's just certain movies.
So.
Me personally, I want to see certain movies in the theater. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
There are certain movies I want to see in the theater. And that's Black Widow is definitely one
movie. Yeah, a Marvel movie is definitely part of it, for sure. In fact,
that's
at
like
some point
Nature
we should
come out. I want to go see it in theater, too. It doesn't mean I probably won't watch it on HBO, but I want to go see it.
Right.
In fact, that's worth a conversation, and maybe we could talk about that next week, is the way an action scene played out in like a Loki or Winter Soldier or whatever is different from the way those happen maybe on a big screen. Like I'm thinking particularly about, there's a lot of fight scenes in, and actually I was a little, like Loki's kind of a wimpy fighter, right? Like Loki gets the shit kicked out of him throughout this entire six episodes.
Well,
Loki's not a good fighter.
That's the point. He doesn't need to.
Yeah, Loki's not a fighter.
He gets out of him all the time, right? He can't use magic. He can't use magic. He can't use magic in the AVM, whatever it's called. ATV, what's it called?
TVA.
And then you look at like Winter Soldier, which has a lot more fighting. Like there's like at least one giant fight in every single episode, right? And I'm just thinking of like, and there's a lot of flying around, and that's worth a conversation. Like the way these big set piece things kind of happen on a TV show versus a movie. I mean, maybe that's why there's a lot more like fighting versus like explosions and stuff. Which explosions are not that impressive on television.
Let me put this comparison out there for you.
It depends on your TV.
I have surround sound in my living room because like when I watch a movie, I mean I have the surround sound all the time. But when I watch a movie, I want to turn it up a little. You know, Alyssa constantly yells at me to
turn it down.
So it was really nice
you
to go to
the
movie
news?
Theater and nobody told. I watch everything in surround. It's the way I have it hooked up. It's just always a surround sound, and I don't watch the news.
Yeah.
But in the movie theater,
getting that.
Right. In the movie theater, nobody's telling me to turn it down. So I'm going to the movie theater to see stuff like that.
Yeah, to see stuff like that, for sure. I agree with all the directors who in the last year and a half did not want their films to maybe be released streaming. Like there have been several directors who like wanted their films to be held and not be released because they felt it would suffer on a small screen, right?
Yes.
And they're right. But you know, these what we're talking about were made for television. And now I gotta watch Wanda and see if it's more like. I mean, both of these shows are more like hand-to-hand fighting. I've never seen Loki fight so much as he did in this season. Like Loki got in a big fight in like at least every other episode, right? Like big hand-to-hand, getting his butt kicked kind of fighting. He should be a little bit better than that. Like he should be yes, he's not a good fighter. He's never been, but he was raised in Asgard and presumably would have had fight training along with Thor for most of his growing up, right? But I guess maybe he was a lazy, poor student and wants to rely on magic more than you know.
Absolutely. Loki relies on you know not actually being there and letting people and then stabbing somebody in the back. That's easier.
Yeah.
Loki's a big proponent of work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Yes, he is. Yeah. So. Well, I guess we've been at this for a while. Anything else about it, you guys?
I don't think so. I think we covered that pretty damn well, among other things.
I think we did, yeah. I was surprised, yeah.
I think we did. So you said, wait, I'm going to sneeze, I think. So you said next week, what do we... excuse me.
Oh, God bless you, Jamie.
There's another one. Thanks. Maybe not. But like you said, next week, are we going to come back next week? What do we have? Well, we, I guess we have Surreal Estate. And maybe I can at least watch somewhat of, I guess, Winter Soldier, and we can talk about that, I guess. I just was curious as I'm thinking what's on. But, yeah, we have Surreal. We can talk more about that.
And we should probably,
AJ,
and we should probably
all,
watch,
right?
Yes. And we can also, maybe we should, I know Karen at least, American Horror Stories.
American Horror Stories, Surreal Estate. It's going to be like a horror edition next week. And then, Jamie, if you watch either Wanda or Falcon or both, and maybe we'll have time to see Black Widow.
What I can. Yeah, and I probably by Tuesday, I would think, we'll have seen Black Widow, I hope. That's the plan. Anyway.
I might go on to, I don't have time before Tuesday. Because I'm going away for the weekend to my parents' house.
Oh, so you might not. Okay, well, if you see it, then
we'll
talk about it. If you don't, we won't.
We'll see. I might see it. My niece and nephew might want to go see it, so whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about it. We got quite a bunch of stuff we can. My father, who's 89, would really, my parents would love to see Black Widow. The last movie, I took my mom to Downton Abbey.
Grandma watched Marvel with me. I got her to watch Marvel stuff, so you never
know. I
know,
your grandma watched Walking Dead also.
She watched Walking Dead too. She didn't like it when it got real gross, but she liked it sometimes. Sometimes.
So, so we have a bunch of stuff for next week. Before we hang up, can we talk about the extremely frustrating news about the Law and Order spinoff that bumped Manifest now getting bumped off the...
I just saw somebody posted something else about Manifest, and I don't know how accurate it is or how new the news is. I was going to read it when we were done here. While you guys are talking... Whoops, I'm on the wrong phone. While you guys are talking, I'll look it up and see what it said, because it had said that maybe they were going to do something with it, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think Manifest continues to be one of the most watched Netflix shows right now, right? But that article was so irritating. When I posted it, I was like, oh, I hope AJ's in a quiet place when he reads the article.
Well, this is from Deadline from today. This is
all Manifest, right, reliable.
Netflix, NBCI, new season of canceled series. We may have a repeat of Timeless. It could be resurrected. A month after NBC canceled it, Netflix opted not to pick it up. Although Netflix is in talks again, I don't know. They're saying it could be, but this is on Deadline. It's legit.
Well, Deadline's very reliable.
Deadline's pretty reliable.
Wait
a minute.
I don't know exactly what it says. I haven't read the whole.
Did I just hear you correctly? Netflix passed on it, but they're actually back in talks with Netflix.
This is what it says. It says, a month after the missing plane drama was axed by NBC after three seasons, Netflix opted not to pick it up. NBC is in conversations with Manifest Studio, Warner Brothers TV, about a possible renewal, sources tell Deadline. In an intriguing twist, I hear Netflix also has resumed talks with Warner Brothers TV about a fourth season on the streamer, and they have been picking up momentum. But then they're also said about what happened with Timeless.
So
I don't know. This is what they said. So I guess it's up to
Go ahead, Karen.
It sounds like they're talking to both. They're talking to both NBC and Netflix.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I'm hearing. But what I'm also hearing is it sounds like both Netflix and NBC, after this whole Law and Order fiasco, I think for Netflix, I think they were like, oh, that's why it got canceled? Maybe we should think about this. Or maybe Netflix heard NBC was back in, and they were like, you know what? Screw them. They didn't even make money off it, but we are, because they already screwed up. But, I mean, just get back to the point of the whole start of this. That is some bullshit. you drop a, I mean, I don't know what the numbers look like on that Manifest, but it was clearly a fan favorite. People were definitely watching it. It's the number one show on Netflix at the moment. You know, it was on Netflix, yeah. Number one on Netflix for like 5 or 6 weeks in a row, you know, before it finally dropped down. At the time they canceled it, it had only been like 3 weeks. And that, I'm sorry, and I'm not surprised by this, but you drop it for a show that's a spinoff of another boring show. I mean, I know people like the Law and Order stuff and everything, but how many friggin' Law and Orders do you need? And then to be like, yeah, we're not even going to go forward with it. Like, that really pissed me off. When I saw that, even before I read it, well, the first thing I saw was Karen's like, this is especially for AJ, and I was like, uh-oh. I was uh-oh before I read it. And then when I read it, I was like, you've got to be. Like, I was so angry. And it just goes to show. NBC sucks. I'm sorry.
I don't know about you guys, AJ and Jamie. I did not realize until I read this headline the other day, I didn't realize Manifest got canceled in favor of this Law & Order show. I thought it got canceled just because it got canceled. I didn't realize NBC was trying to make room for another Law & Order, right?
I heard about the other Law & Order because I had done the interviews for the one that did come out. I had heard talks about it, but I didn't know that they canceled Manifest because of it. I mean, that's kind of weird, especially because now they canceled it. So, you know, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and to AJ's point, like, you cancel it, you cancel a pretty decent show in favor of an unproven pilot, and then you cancel that anyway, right? Or whatever it was.
Yeah, so that means you need to bring it back. Like, you have
I'd love to see it happen. I think the three of us have learned the hard way to not be excited and not have any hope. Right?
Well, yeah.
So
I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll say this much. If by some miracle NBC says, hey, okay, let's bring Manifest back since the thing that was going – like, it just boggles my mind. We need room for this other Law & Order show. Let's get rid of Manifest. Okay, that's how this panned out. Now, if Manifest ends up – now they're going – okay, we're not even going to go forward with this other show that didn't even have anybody cast in it. There was no casting even done yet.
Yeah.
Let's bring Manifest back. The one positive thing I could say about this is if they do, by some miracle, bring Manifest back, we are going to get three more seasons of Manifest because there is no way in hell it's going to fly if they try and cancel again after season four. There will be repercussions. Jeff Rake, like, I'm telling you right now, I think the only way Jeff Rake actually makes a deal with NBC is if he says, you signed me up for three seasons right now. I don't think it's going to be a sign me up for, you know, renew me for one season. It's going to be you're doing all three seasons or I will find somebody else to do it.
Give him a three-year deal or he can go to,
I mean, it would be nice, but I mean, we got to remember the networks are about money. They don't really care. Just like you say, the show they haven't cast yet. They haven't cast.
But I can't see Jeff Rake agreeing to do four and have no idea. It's going to be it's going to be an all or nothing thing on Jeff Rake's part because what's the point of giving people season four just to go through this hell again?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. And it would, I mean, it's a good question, I guess. Does NBC find themselves with a hole in the schedule that they now can't fill?
Yes.
Or do they have, like, other stuff in the pipeline? I mean, it's NBC, so I have a little faith in their pipeline because they've been so bad for so long, right? So if they have to fill a hole, does that put Jeff Rake in a good position? That'd be fantastic, right? I would love that. Jeff Rake's
I think
in a
it does.
Power position now. And he can
I mean, I'm sure they have some reality
show.
I'm sure they have some reality show they can stick in there, you know.
I'm sure they'll find some crap.
Yeah, another version of the Masked Singer
Would be good if they brought it back. I mean, you never know. But
another version of the Masked Singer.
It's kind of like you can't get excited and expect it because it just...
Right, no.
You never know the way.
Yeah, I'm not excited. I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, like I said, that was posted today. I just happened to see it because a friend of mine posted it on her group, so that's why I mentioned it. But I didn't read the whole thing. I just scanned it as I was talking to you guys. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
So.
We'll continue to follow the saga. It's funny, too, because every couple of days I actually go on Jeff Rake's Twitter to see if there's any news.
Oh, yeah. See if there'll be some kind of announcement.
I didn't even know you were actually on Twitter still. You never...
Jamie,
you just,
I'm on Twitter because of you. I'm on Twitter because of you. My Twitter account is because of Sci-Fi Vision.
That's
the only reason I have a Twitter account.
No,
what am I going to post? I'm going to the bathroom.
I don't know.
You know?
I went to work.
Well,
I took the kids to school.
Yeah.
So, well, all right. I guess we've covered, we're nearing the end of our time, and I guess we've covered most of everything this week.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, our short show has gone 47 minutes.
Yeah, there are some different
interviews coming that are separate from the stuff we talk about. Pursuit of Love is going to be going up. And also I did, that's with, but I was going to say, I also did this movie. It's coming to theaters. I think it's coming to streaming too. I'm not sure offhand, but it's called 9 Days. It's actually really good. It's like a thoughtful film. You know, it's not like a big, huge film, but it was really good. I liked that. So that's going on. But yeah, there's nothing else. I know Walking Dead's coming soon because I got screeners, but that's not until, I think, August. So.
August.
Not that whether or not that's going to be good or not, we don't know. I guess you'll know my verdict soon. We'll find out.
Okay, good.
All right. Yeah, I think that's about it. So I guess we'll talk next week then. Okay.
All right, yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Have a good week, you guys.
Have a good night, ladies.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Have a good day.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we're actually going to do it again next week. Yay.
Yay. Bye-bye.
Good night.